Fiona Parker here with you through until 10. If you're an author, I reckon one of the most exciting days of your life must be when you see your book in print. But another rather exciting thing would be to hear that someone's bought the film rights to your work and you're likely to be seeing it on screen. Echuca-based author Fleur Ferris has had that moment, with producer Jay Arn picking up the rights to adapt her children's fairyland tale, Nullaboo Hullabaloo, into a film. Fleur Ferris, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, thank you.
How did this all happen?
It started about a year ago when a company over here, a film company called Continuance, went to the Toronto International Film Festival, and they were pitching a number of projects, and they met with Jay Arn, who said he was after something for animation, and so they pitched Nullaboo Hullabaloo, and he asked for a copy of the book, so I sent that over, and about 4 months later, he's come back and said, yeah, I really like this, and took it to his team of people, and it came about earlier this year that he's made an offer to option it. So I've only just signed the contract, and yeah, it's now heading into development.
So it's going to be an animation.
Yes, yeah.
And I note your name's down as a producer or something.
No, I'm script consultant.
Okay, so script consultant. Yeah. My film lingo isn't great. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. There's a lot of work ahead still, of course, and a lot of that will be done with Jay overseas. So he's based in Korea and in LA. So I guess his team will be coming on board, and also the Continuance Pictures, who are Melbourne and Brisbane based, are partnering with him. So it's their first animation film as well.
And what do we know about Jay Arn, who's the main man behind all this?
Yeah, he produced The Nut Job, which was a big film, animation film. So he had a star cast in that. I'm really hopeful. I feel it's in really safe hands with Jay.
The book itself and the story itself is a really sweet, imaginative tale of a young girl discovering a colony of fairies living in a tree in her school's playground. And reading it last night with my 8-year-old, I can see why it would work well on screen, because you've got the sweet, good fairies and then the mean silver spiders trying to take over their colony, and this kind of science versus imagination element. How on earth did you come up with that scenario?
It was through my own kids. They were at Bunnaloo Public School, and that's where the story is really set, and I've changed that to Nullaboo, the name of it. But they would come home with these stories about fairies. One day I went to wash my daughter's school pants and she goes, no, you can't do that. I've got baby fairies in my pocket. And they were the little feathers from Galahs. And so it was their story, and they kept telling me all these little snippets and about the silver spiders. And they had this whole world built in their minds, and it came from older students told down to the younger students. And it was something, it was a beautiful story, and they loved it, and they made little offerings for the fairies. And but I couldn't capture it any way. I couldn't photograph that. I couldn't do anything. So I thought, okay, I'll write it. I'm a writer, so I'll write it. And that's how it started. I created a lot of things, like the Department of Unexpected Discovery and all of that side of it. And basically I just asked myself, what would happen if there were fairies discovered and it was leaked to the media?
Because, yes, I haven't gone on to that bit yet, but, yeah, that and then, you know, you've got the fairy council and they kind of govern themselves, and you've got these leaders within both the groups, really, the scary spiders and the fairies. So, yes, you've created a whole society there, Fleur.
Well, a lot of that was created by the kids, and I've taken their idea. Yeah, I added the human element. They didn't have that and that connection, of course. So I created the mum being a scientist, so we were able to connect the humans with their world.
Mm, that's the mum of the girl who discovers the fairies.
Is
investigates insects. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were writing the scenes, like the Queen's Silver Spider, you write about how she gives these fake smiles and, you know, looking at all of these soldier spiders around her, you know, she gives this fake smile and then her face drops into a menacing scowl. And I can see that moment in an animation very clearly.
Yeah, when I first wrote this story, I only wrote the human side and I left. So they existed, but it was through the eyes of the human and through the minds of them, and they weren't sure if they were real. And then my agent said, okay, now you've got to write the fantasy side. And I said, oh, well, I don't write fantasy. And she's like, no, you have to for this. You have to write fantasy. And I had no idea how I was going to portray a spider or be a spider. So I watched Babe on repeat pretty much while I wrote this and saw how they projected animals onto the screen and to keep their animal traits but to give them human traits as well that we could relate to. So that's sort of how I approached that. And I wanted her to be sinister but also funny in how bad, you know, she thought she was. So that's where she sort of came from.
Yeah, right. Because she... Yeah, it's kind of like that, I don't know, Cruella de Vil or something like that. Like, if you know, that that animated face of like being mean and smiling mean, then a scowl. And you can, yeah, as I said, you can see how that would work on film.
Like that character.
Did you think about the filmic quality of those moments when you were writing them?
I do. I always do. And that's a part of how I see how I write. I see it in my mind and I write what I see. So in my mind, it plays like a film. And so my work does come across filmic because of that, I think. So, and that's with all of my work, not just with the work for younger children, with my work for older readers as well. It all plays out like a reel. And that's how I see, how I write.
Mm. Well, we're calling it a children's book, but really it's quite thick and there aren't many pictures in it. So what's the... age bracket?
Around about 8 upwards, depending on how good the reader is. So the story can be read to kids who aren't stronger readers. So there's the content is fine for younger kids as well, but it certainly can be taken right up to year 7. So it is a larger book. It's 35,000 words. Mm. So it's a decent size for a new reader.
Mm.
Yeah.
And a decent size for a feature film.
yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see what's kept in it and what has to be cut for the time frame. So,
yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Are you worried about that?
No, I trust this team. I think they're going to do a fantastic job. I've looked at what Jay's done with his other work and I'm really impressed. I just can't even believe that my work made it over there and that it made it through that acquisition process with this team of people. So I'm really excited to see how it's going to play out and what it's going to look like in the end.
What happens next from here on in?
Well, next it's gone into development. So it's a really long process with lots of creatives doing all of their individual things to make it happen. So there's character design, there's landscape art, script, story development. So that will all start first. And then I guess it goes into casting and bring it into production.
Any ideas as to your dream actor for the various roles?
Oh, I have very big dreams. I don't know. It's not my area. I have dreams because I've seen films that I like and I like people, that I like to watch. But looking back at where Jay went with The Nut Job, you know, he had Liam Neeson in that, who I'm a big fan of as well, that just played a fantastic part. But I didn't know it was him until I read that. I just watched it without knowing who was in it. And that's the thing with animation. You can't see them. So, it's interesting to see, and I can't wait to see who they put forward.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be difficult working remotely, do you reckon?
I don't know. I guess it does. Well, I've got kids home working remotely now, and
yeah,
I'm working remotely.
Speaking of working remotely,
we're all learning about that. There is always problems associated with it, as I'm learning firsthand with my other work and the kids But it also is great because with the internet, we are so connected. And I think right now, for the development of this to go forward, it actually has worked in the film's favour because production is all stopped. So it has allowed those who might have been working on other projects to be freed up a little bit. So in that way, it's been in good favour for my project. And I guess at some stage I might either go over to Korea or America if I'm involved in that part of, you know, in that part of the script development. I'm script consultant, so they will have writers in there which will be sent to me to check over. So, but that can be done online as well.
Well, as you say, I'm sure they'll do a brilliant job bringing your characters to life. They've already been brought to life on the page, but being brought to life on a screen is another thing altogether. Because you would have a picture in your head about all this.
So I do, yeah.
Like, what if you see the storyboards and think, hang on a minute, that's not right?
Well, it's interesting because Bryony Stewart, who's an artist who did the illustrations for the book, it was the same sort of thing. I had no idea what she might come back with because when I had it in my head, the characters were based on people I knew. So I didn't know what it might look like and whether I'd be happy with it. And she did a pretty amazing job of bringing it to life as I saw it. So, yeah, you don't know what it might come back as. And they will have to make it as lively and as attractive to the screen, I guess, so that they can carry those characters through and do what they need to do in line with the story. So, yeah, it will be really interesting to see. And I don't know what I would do if I really disliked what I saw. And it was the same when I had that same apprehension when I was waiting on Bryony's illustrations to come through because I thought, what if I don't like it? Mm-hmm. But when she came through, I loved what she did, and the spider in particular was just terrifying to me. I'm scared of spiders. So,
how could you write about all those little hundreds of spiders then falling onto the girl in one of the first scenes?
That was my real life horror story.
Oh.
It was terrible. And I had to think, it makes me shudder even still now thinking about that. So,
see, I'm already acting like it's a film. I'm one of the first scenes. It's one of the first chapters that this happens.
Yeah.
Look, thank you so much, Fleur. Do keep in touch as to how it's all going. And as you say, these things take a long time and a lot of investment can come to naught. But then again, a lot of investment can come to a lot and make a wonderful film in the end. So good luck with the next part of the process and the next few years on this one.
Thanks very much, Fiona.